What is up, y'all? Welcome back to the Devil Royale YouTube channel. We are back with a franchise fix episode. Today we're doing the Chicago Bears. If you haven't followed Randy and I for a while, this is the first time these are going on the Devil Royale. So this could be your first franchise fix. We go through the state of the team. We go through their current cap situation. We sign free agents, and then we do a short mock draft. As we get further into the offseason, we will do longer mock drafts. Today we're going to do a three-round mock for the Chicago Bears as we tackle fixing the Chicago Bears. There are obviously some big questions with this team that we will get into, so stick with us through the intro. We'll catch you on the other side. All right, so this episode will not solely focus on the quarterback, I promise. I know that's a big thing in Chicago right now, and rightfully so. That's the big question. We will get into that for sure. First, we're going to go through the state of the team. So per Pro Football Focus, overall, 27th, one of the worst teams in football once again. Their best PFF grade was their run grade, which was an 89.8. Their worst was actually pass block again on offense, and so that's something that we'll definitely address as we get through this. On defense, their best was their coverage grade. Jalen Johnson was a second-team All-Pro and arguably should have been a first-team All-Pro. And then, you know, their worst was their run defense. Their defensive tackles struggled a bit in the run game. I think Montez Sweat coming on down the stretch certainly helped. I did want to mention some notable stats that I noticed as I was going through this. Only two pass catchers had over a 70 receiving grade. That was DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, which we kind of know. If you watched any of the Bears, you could have guessed who those two players were. Tackle tandem ranked 31st, and that was Braxton Jones. And then 59th was Darnell Wright in pass blocking grade. So that's problematic. Darnell Wright had flashes, but he definitely is far from being a finished product. And then lastly, Montez Sweat was the only edge rusher on the team with more than 50 pressures. I mentioned that because he did that from the trade on. So that was an impressive feat, what he did. Randy, any thoughts on all of this? Like, does this all check out in terms of like the PFF grades and whatnot?
Yeah, it's like the most, the tape didn't lie PFF grades you could find. Mm-hmm. It's just the people that stood out made sense. The running grade, I think, was a little bit better than I thought it'd be, but then they were able to use three different backs and then Justin Fields effectively. But with how much they were down a good amount of games, I thought the run grade would be a little bit worse. The pass blocking is not surprising. It's not just off the offensive line. Fields did. I don't know if it was league high, but it's at least top 10 in holding the ball. Not great there, but it's something he's done in college. Honestly, it's something that Caleb Williams does, so it's not going to change next year. But yeah, it's a little surprising the gap between Jones and Wright coming into the season. We did know Darnell Wright was more of a run blocker than pass blocker. That's why Christian liked him so much. That's his thing. Yeah. The mauling tackle, that's what Christian's going to like, and I'm sure our tackle rankings this year will dictate that as well. But mm-hmm. You would assume with good coaching, he would be closer to bridging this gap where Jones, you know, a guy that's kind of taken over a spot that wasn't deemed to be his spot necessarily, at least last year going into this year necessarily, and to be double is a mm-hmm. worrisome sign.
Yeah, and I, you know, being 31st isn't really great either. And now that includes, and that's only with the tackles. That wasn't like all of offensive line. That was the tackles only. They had, you know, bad tackle play. And of course, like there is some of that aspect of Justin Fields that plays into that. But there were some really rough reps from both of them. Darnell Wright in the Detroit game when Detroit came storming back in the fourth quarter, down two touchdowns with like 4 minutes left. Darnell Wright was one of the reasons that Justin Fields fumbled the ball. And a lot of that context doesn't get talked about. And the Chicago media is kind of over talking about it. We're not going to get too much into, you know, actual analysis here. Real analysis, but not like player
on PFF grades.
Definitely not on PFF grades. All right, we are going to move into the current depth chart, but before that I do want to tell you guys about Notion. Notion is a single space where you can think, write, and plan, capture thoughts, manage projects, or even run an entire company and do it exactly the way you want. Notion's mission is to make tool making ubiquitous and believes that if every person in business can tailor software to their problems, the world as a whole will be better at solving problems. With project templates to help you get started, easy to use editing tools, and highly customizable pages, Notion is the best way to manage your projects. By clicking our affiliate link and signing up for a paid plan, you are supporting the Devry Royale YouTube channel. So click the link in our description or head to affiliate.notion.so/thedevryroyale to purchase a paid plan today. That's affiliate.notion.so/thedevryroyale to upgrade to a Plus Business or Notion AI plan today. Okay, let's get into the current depth chart. So if you're watching on the YouTube, this will be on the podcast form, but if you're watching on the YouTube, I know that's a little hard to see. So if you can zoom, feel free. Randy, why don't you take it away with the current depth chart?
Yeah, obviously Justin Fields starting quarterback, Tyson Bagent backup. Nathan Peterman was the third string, is a free agent. Khalil Herbert and Roshad Johnson are the running backs that are currently returning at the top two of the depth chart, with Deonta Foreman and Travis Homer, free agent slash cut candidates. Kari Blasenkamp, one of the better fullbacks in the league as their fullback. DJ Moore, one of the better receivers as their starting left receiver, with Equanimeous St. Brown and Colin Johnson behind him. The rookie Tyler Scott on the opposite side, with the unfortunate Velus Jones Jr. backing him up. And in the slot, Darnell Mooney and Trent Taylor. Equanimeous, Darnell, and Trent, both free agents. So
not ideal.
Not ideal, and the rest of the receiving core, not ideal either. It's one of those, like, imagine if you didn't get DJ Moore in that trade last year. Good Lord. But Braxton Jones, who we just went pretty in-depth about, and Larry Borum as a left tackle, Tevin Jenkins and Dan Feeney as the guards, Cody Whitehair, Lucas Patrick at center, Nate Davis, Jatir Carter, I can't remember how to pronounce that, and Darnell Wright as the right tackle. Nate Davis as a signing last year. Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, and Braxton Jones all draft picks of the last couple years. And Cody White here, the 32-year-old stalwart of the Bears, also a big cut candidate.
I'm going to pause you quick.
I was going to tight end quick, sorry. Cole Kmet, Mercedes Lewis, and Robert Tonyan, with Mercedes Lewis and Robert Tonyan both short-term deals, free agents this year.
Yes. Where I was going to pause, Nate Davis looks like a terrible signing thus far. He had some off-season stuff that prevented him from being at camp, and then he never really found his footing. Looked bad for most of the year, and I think most of the year is probably giving him a little bit of slack. I would say that almost every time he played, he was bad. And so that's probably an area of need, and I know he's got a four-year deal with 3 years remaining, but that's just something to note. And then Mercedes Lewis did mention that he wants to keep playing. He's going to be, I believe, 40, 41, something like that. And so he enjoyed his time with the Bears. I wouldn't be shocked if they bring him back. I want to mention that because I don't think either of us are doing that when we get to free agency.
No, but I also want, like, they're going to sign more free agents than we said. Like, we're going over the key additions, returning players, as backups or just veteran depth or guys that are going to be competing for positions type situation. We might not have went over just because if we're spending every single cent that they have, it's a different thing. But yeah, they're going to have some rollover cap, not that they need it because they're good next year, but still.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot through the defensive side of the ball really quickly. Montez Sweat is one of their edge rushers. Rasheen Green, Rasheen's going to be a free agent this year. Andrew Billings just inked a long extension. And then there are two rookie defensive tackles going into their second year, Zach Pickens and Javon Dexter, the senior. Justin Jones is a free agent. He had flashes, but I don't necessarily think that they're willing to bring him back. DeMarcus Walker was fine after Yannick Ngakoue went out. I would say that DeMarcus Walker probably should have been playing the whole time. Worth noting, though, that he is slated as their starter right now, and it wasn't great all the time. Dominique Robinson behind him. Linebackers played really well this year. TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn, Noah Sewell rotated in at Sam, and then Dylan Cole was also in there as well. He's a free agent. Jalen Johnson is the big free agent that we're going to talk about here soon. Terrell Smith is behind him. Tyreek Stevenson, Jalen Jones, Greg Drummond Jr., Kyler Gordon, Josh Blackwell, and then Eddie Jackson, Jaquan Brisker kind of round out the safety tandem and the defensive secondary. But Eddie Jackson is a big cut candidate as well, which we'll talk about here in a second. So cap space, Randy, walk us through cap space, key free agents, things like that.
Yeah, so the top 51 number for the Bears currently is $48,565,906 specifically. I believe it's top 12 in the league at the top 51 number. So that's a good bidding war power going into the offseason, especially with your big free agent, Jalen Johnson. The key free agents for them, Jalen Johnson, Yannick Ngakoue, Justin Jones, Lucas Patrick, Darnell Mooney, Rasheem Green, yes or no. And there's a few, we kind of went over all the free agents, but Jalen Johnson, Yannick Ngakoue, Justin Jones, and Darnell Mooney are the biggest by far, with Jalen Johnson being an enormous fish, not just for the Bears, but for the whole league. Someone that might reset the cornerback market. We'll see on that, but I think they were willing to pay him about, you know, the going rate last year of like 16-ish, and then they couldn't come to a terms for a deal. He asked if he could explore trade. They let him. I think they're trying to mend that, and they'll mend that with a front-loaded deal this year with a big signing bonus.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into it. Jalen Johnson was like having just slightly better hands away from having a historic year. Yes. He had probably, I want to say, four or five pick sixes that he dropped that were very clear pick sixes. But if you watched him on a down-to-down basis, I believe he was the best corner in football this year. You know, I've watched a lot of teams over my years. There have been some good corners there. You know, I don't remember a season quite like the one Jalen Johnson had, and it didn't get talked about as much because the Bears were kind of out of the playoff. I mean, they were in the playoff hunt, but it's not like they're a dominant team. Though down the stretch, their defense was very dominant, and that's worth noting as well. So key cut candidates, we kind of mentioned it, but Cody Whitehair, Eddie Jackson. Cody Whitehair is just, he's been bad. He's been bad pretty much since he got to Chicago. There are times where he is the sole reason that a blocking assignment gets missed. And then Eddie Jackson as well. He has played okay. There are times when, you know, he looks like the Eddie Jackson that the Bears have come to know. And there are other times where it gets pretty rough out there. He can't really tackle anymore. And so those are the two big cut candidates. If you include Travis Homer, the new cap space would be $74 million and change, almost $75 million. So worth noting, I personally, those are the decisions I made. I'm cutting those three players. Randy, are you the same?
Yes, same. It just makes the most sense. Homer didn't do anything for you. And then to move on from the veteran presence, that's always hard, but you can get that veteran presence for a lot less than what you just paid for these guys.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get into our free agency here. So with all that cap space, we had a lot of moves to make. Randy, I'll let you go first, even though you're on the right side of this graphic here.
It's fine. It's because I spent the most money. Jalen Johnson, I went for a re-sign, 5 years, $90 million. That's averages to 18 per. Obviously, I think it's front-loaded for the first 2 years. It's kind of like a, not just signing bonus, but it's like a bonus. It's like a, okay, you deserve this. You played well. Take this. We'll eat the money for these 2 years because you deserve it, and you'll still be paid highly the next couple years, but you get the deal done. I do think this probably comes after the franchise tag, though, with more negotiation power. I also brought in Kendrick Bourne, 2 years, $12 million. That whole New England situation is just going to – I think it's going to be a lot of turnover, and I think he's going to go out, try and find a better situation that can use him a bit more. If you're there and your new coach is a coach that played for the last coach for forever and has been in their system for forever, I'm not assuming there's going to be wholesale changes. So if I'm Kendrick Bourne, I'm looking for somewhere with better opportunity, and the Bears present that, taking over for Darnell Mooney and a bit of that slot role and giving you the speed and playmaking ability. Colby Parkinson to be the backup tight end to try and get what you wanted from Robert Tonyan this last year, and he never gave. Young guy that's probably going to be on the way out with the new regime in Seattle. He's looked good at times, but never really gotten the opportunity, but he's been a great number two. Geno Stone to be an actual safety pairing, and you're cheaper than what you were paying Eddie Jackson, and he should be a good pairing with Jaquan Brisker, allowing Brisker to be more of a just a all-around safety and in the box more, where Geno doesn't do that as much. Bringing in an actual center for the money, you were a little bit more than you were paying Cody Whitehair and Lloyd Cushenberry, who struggled in his first few years in the league, but over the last year and a half has really turned it on and has earned his contract. 4 years, $57 million, about $14.25 per. I think that might be a little bit above what he could get, but I think that's a little bit of a bidding war, and the Bears went out with the money that they have. And then I splurged a little bit to get an actual edge rusher that I could trust. Dorrance Armstrong, kind of the unsung hero of the Cowboys, the number three edge rusher, only played about 50% of the snaps this year, played every game, 8.5 sacks last year, 7.5 this year. I think coming onto this team to be their number two edge rusher with whatever, I'm assuming they're bringing in a rookie edge rusher also, just to get some more rotational stats. But he also played pretty much every position of the defensive line for the Cowboys over the last few years. So he gives them flexibility and versatility, even if he's more of a third down rusher than a run stopper.
Yeah, I like this. $14.6 million remaining. You can kind of roll that over. Obviously, it'll be used to fill out the roster and things like that as well. I like this approach. I really like the Colby Parkinson one. I'm pretty upset because I did mine first. I was pretty upset when I got it in here. I was like, man, I want to steal that, but I can't now. So that's a good call. I think that's an underrated player that would get used better in a tight end two role. I think they were hoping that Robert Tonyan was going to be that. But what Robert Tonyan is known for this year is the massive drop on the beautiful deep ball from Justin Fields in that one game that, if you don't know what I'm talking about and you're watching this, go look it up. Go look up Robert Tonyan drop.
I think it's important for this offense moving forward to whoever the OC is, whoever the quarterback is, to get a strong number two tight end and get a reliable veteran receiver to pair with this, because while they believe in Tyler Scott, I do not yet. Kendrick Bourne is a better version of that, at least right now. Parkinson gives you reliable options, allows you to be in versatile sets. He could play everywhere, and it's just a smart business decision and a cheap deal. You know, I don't think he's taking a hometown discount for a couple million to stay in Seattle, getting four million a year for what he's had to produce because he's not on the field enough. I think it's a steal for the Bears, even if it may seem as an overpay.
Well, and he'd be following his former offensive coordinator over too, hopefully.
Maybe.
So rumor is that Shane Waldron and Clint Kubiak are the two actual names. I know there have been some, like yesterday it came out that Cliff Kingsbury was interviewing for the OC job with the Bears. My knowledge is that a lot of this is noise. They're just using this opportunity to talk to a few more people. And kind of throw people off the scent. You know, they interviewed Greg Roman, so everyone was like, oh, they're keeping Fields, and now they're interviewing Caleb Williams as quarterback coach. So
exactly, and that is strategic, even if it isn't for coaching. You know, it could be as a safety blanket for Caleb coming in to hire his coordinator, but it's just getting another look, someone that spent more time with Caleb. You get to, I'm sure Cliff knows that. That's why he's interviewing with other teams, but.
Right.
It doesn't help. It doesn't hurt him to have a possible number one selection in your back pocket for a new team.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, you know, maybe he doesn't get an OC job, but maybe he follows Caleb and he becomes the quarterback coach in Chicago if that's the route that they went.
Passing game coordinator, assistant head coach is someone that's done it. Help out Eberflus, who needs it. Cliff is never going to be a head coach again because I don't think he's thrived in that role. But do not forget, he thrives as an offensive coordinator when that's what he's doing. If he's only being an offensive guy, we have history of that working. Will that translate to the NFL necessarily? We're not 100% on, but we've seen it work before.
Yeah. I was really down on what his offense looked like in Arizona the last couple of years. But it got stale. That sometimes happens when they don't have time to kind of go look at new schemes. Okay, my side of things, Jalen Johnson, franchise tag, extension later. I think that this is inevitable. Ryan Poles has already said that Jalen Johnson is not leaving the building. So this is a done deal. They're going to get the deal done at some point. Bryce Huff, edge rusher out of the New York Jets, 3 years, $15 million per on average. This is a player that had over 60 pressures this year, looked like one of the best edge rushers, honestly, in the league. If you watched him play throughout the year, better on third downs and better, you know, when he can just pin his ears back and get to the quarterback. But that's exactly what this team needs right now. Xavier McKinney, 2 years, $8.75 million per year. I think, you know, in looking at this, I was doing a lot more research after. I'd be comfortable giving McKinney more of like a 4 to 5 year deal. But, you know, he battled with injuries his first couple of years. He really came on this last year. This last year was a breakout year. Does not miss tackles. So the polar opposite of Eddie Jackson back there. I think this would be a nice little tandem to put with Jaquan Brisker. And then the veteran receiver, because I do agree with that mindset, I went out and got was Tyler Boyd, 2 years, 9.5 average per. I don't necessarily know why Tyler Boyd would go to Chicago other than he wants to play in a place where he gets opportunity, because I think that when he gets opportunity, we've seen what he can do, and I still think he's got it a little bit. So going a little bit older here, but I think that that veteran presence would be needed. And then my total cap space remaining, 21 million, 21 and some change. So what do you think of my side?
Yeah, you said that you were mad that I took Colby and you couldn't, but you, like you said, you went first. So You took Huff, and then I'm trying to sit there like, do I overspend for the better free agent edge rushers? And there's not really someone I trusted besides the only one I really found that I liked was Dorrance Armstrong at a little bit lower of a tier. But Huff has just been so good and consistent. Xavier McKinney, again, I think maybe the best safety on the market, at least to pair with Brisker, not the same style as Brisker. So going a little bit off of that into a different kind of mindset with Stone, and Boyd is the best receiver at that kind of value, $9.5 million. He's proved to be a reliable option as well as being able to step up when needed. And he stepped up a lot in the past couple of years with the injuries to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins throughout those years. But all signs are currently pointing to them paying T. Higgins to stay, and that means Boyd's got to go. There's just not enough money in the pot. They'll look to replace him because it's easier to replace a third receiver or even get a top-end tight end to replace that kind of production is what they're going to be doing. And unfortunately, that means Boyd feels left out, feels like he needs an opportunity to show out. The Bears present that. He'd be immediately their wide receiver too, and be the chain mover while DJ Moore does everything else.
He'd be the wide receiver too until the draft, but that's okay.
Maybe. It depends who they pick, but yeah. I think he could have as much of an impact as Jacoby Myers has had on the Raiders offense this last year. Just truly, you know, everyone thought they were good with Hunter Renfrow, and then Jacoby came in and really upgraded the position, even though I do love Hunter Renfrow. And I honestly hope he gets cut so we can see the magic again when he signs with the Saints. Back home to Derek Carr for the empty calorie receptions. Yep. But Boyd can transcend to more than what we've seen from him so far.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm with you. I don't trust Tyler Scott. And after this first year,
at least not for me to. I mean,
yeah, it's tough for me to see it working out, man. It's just all the same things that he had issues with in college are still there.
Exactly.
It just didn't really get better. So
Poles has taken two shots at later receivers and Vilas, where I think he reached because receivers are jumping out the board, and then Tyler Scott with the same thing and trying to eliminate that with the signing. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're about to do our mock draft, but before that, I want to tell you about our Patreon. Today is a great day to join our Patreon at patreon.com/TheDebaRoyale with combined W Dynasty rankings to give you an edge on your league mates, a super active Discord with Start Sit Help, Transfer Portal News. We've got everything college football. We talk NFL draft in there. We certainly have something to suit your fantasy football and college football needs. We built a really great community of talking ball and winning in fantasy. Join the community at just $5 a month at patreon.com/TheDebaRoyale. That's patreon.com/TheDebaRoyale. And then lastly, I do want to mention Underdog. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy, a daily fantasy sports platform home to the biggest fantasy contests ever. From best ball contests to pick'em contests, Underdog is the most user-friendly DFS platform in the industry. Underdog is built for fans with winners every day. Put together a pick'em entry choosing higher or lower on various player stats. For example, you can pick higher or lower than 1.5 touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes. Put a couple of those together and you have a nice little payout. It's also home to Best Ball Mania, a contest with a $15 million prize pool last year. That could be bigger this year. Who knows? Join Underdog Fantasy with our promo code, TheDebaRoyale, to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 at Underdog Fantasy. That's promo code TheDebaRoyale at Underdog Fantasy to start playing today. Okay. Let's get into our drafts. So, Randy, you have the honors because you're doing the thing that I would honestly call consensus view at this point. We haven't talked about the quarterback much with both. Obviously, you guys, if you're watching on the YouTube, you can see how our drafts went. We'll talk through the analysis of that. What do you actually think they're going to do? Because we separated and said one of us is going to do one and one of us is going to do the other. I know we said 50-50 like less than a week ago on a video. Are you still 50-50 despite like some of the buzz that's come out?
I am, only because I'm able to take like my, you know, my scouting opinion on Fields, and obviously Ohio State fan, I'm from Ohio, it's whatever. I can take that out and just judge Fields by the numbers I saw from my grades in college and what is kind of happened with Caleb. I think Caleb's going to come out on top, but we've seen Fields continue to grow and we see what he can be in the locker room and we see what the team thinks about him. We know what Poles thinks about him. And it just keeps like going back to, I keep hearing there's a team building argument, but they're talking about getting the rookie quarterback option. And obviously it's, do we want the rookie quarterback or do we want a bunch of rookies? And I think they're going the rookie quarterback, which I'm not. Maybe it's the Madden in me or the madman that I know I can get better players, you know, with all those picks. You know you can nail them if it's us kind of thing. But I think they're going Caleb. I think they're going a coordinator that sets to his skills. And I'm curious how the locker room reacts.
That's the biggest thing to me. It's very big that the star receiver has publicly supported Justin Fields. It's big to me that every single time one of his teammates is in front of someone in the media and is asked about him, they have nothing but good things to say about him. Jalen Johnson was recently on radio or a podcast or something like that, and he just said, like, I think it's a cop-out to take a quarterback now, because that's saying that those coaches don't have to be accountable, and the people that impacted Justin's development don't have to be held accountable. The argument is that they are accountable. They got fired. But I still think that it's very much so 50-50, because I think being in that building, that they know exactly what they're getting from Justin Fields in terms of work ethic and leadership. And there are rumblings that there are people in the league that are a bit nervous about Caleb Williams's personality and also who he is surrounded by. There are things about his dad that I don't think people like. And so when you start to factor in that stuff and some of the weaknesses of Caleb Williams, it's like, it's very much so 50-50. I still have Caleb Williams graded much higher than Justin Fields. And Justin Fields is my number two quarterback in the last 5 years. So
that's where I go leaning towards Caleb, though, because mm-hmm. just thinking Poles is going to have Caleb graded higher. So at that point, it's how he's feeling from the team and how he personally feels connected to Justin. And
yeah,
we don't know that. That's the issue. But that's why us and anyone else that talks about this really should be splitting up the viewpoints and attacking both. And that's why we did it. Like Christian said, I did, quote-unquote, the consensus and took Caleb Williams 101. But that means, at least from what we saw last year, that I think polls will be strongly looking to move back from 9 to get at least some draft capital back, because they couldn't get the draft capital back from 1 like they could have if they didn't want to take Caleb Williams there. So I had them trading back with the Raiders at 13. Raiders coming up with all the quarterbacks flying off the board for the draft that I was doing. The Raiders jumping above the Vikings and the Broncos, other teams that could be looking to take either Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy, probably the last two in the first round that we both really consider. So getting the guy for the Raiders for the future is what they're doing there, and the Bears trade back. Get 13, 77, a second round next year, and a fifth round next year for 109 and the third round next year. So not insane value, but it's just a little bit of a pick swap, and then you get the second. And I'm fine with that to move back 4 spots and get Jazaire Newton, which I know he goes – does he just go by Johnny? That's why I know. It's just so – feels so disingenuous, and then I feel like we're going to get to the draft. He's like, no, I'm just out, because that's what happens every year. But getting a true attacking D tackle to pair with the nose tackles you've already brought in, you kind of inked as your future, to pair with Gervin Dexter Sr. here at the attacking D tackle position to just get some rotational advantage on the D line, because the additions and the retaining we made in the secondary, the draft picks they've made over the last couple of years, the secondary is looking good. The linebacking core looks great. You have 3 to 5 guys that are playing well, especially down the stretch. And then you have your monster edge rusher, and now you get a monster D tackle that can split out at edge, me personally, but I think he's going to be an attacking 3. And you're trying to round out that whole D line and make your defense your selling point, your strong point, to give Caleb Williams some balance and some rope, really, because he needs it. Trade back, and then you trade up into the second round. They do not have a second round pick this year because that's Montez Sweat. So they trade up with the Browns. The Bears trade the 75th pick, the 111th pick, a 25 fourth rounder, 25 fifth for the 55th overall pick to the Browns. You're giving up a lot of day 3 capital, but you're really just hopping up to get an actual talented edge rusher that has some developmental. I think he has to do. Obviously, he has some family in the league already. Jonah Ellis, the edge from Utah. A lot of upside there. More of a speed rushing edge rusher. Lateral. He's a stud, but there's some lateral concerns, some power concerns. Basically some first 2 down concerns for him. But third down, he looks electric. You're getting kind of a lesser version of the potential of Dallas Turner in the second round is what I'm kind of going with here. And that's perfect, the rotation that you're bringing with more power rushers, and then you bring the speed, and you can kick anyone you want inside. I think you have a great rotation at D-line, and your defense is an absolute strength with this kind of pick. I will point out that I traded Justin Fields to the Patriots for the 68th pick and a conditional 2nd next year. So that's why I have the 68th pick. And I took Christian Haynes, the guard from UConn. Size, strength concerns. I don't think he kicks the tackle at all. But I think he gives you some right-left versatility, which they desperately need, because I don't believe either Tevin Jenkins or Nate Davis has secured their spot. And getting a guy in the third round that could compete for both those spots and give you great swing depth is what they really need on an offensive line. You're using your other picks to address the defense. You got to do something here to address the offensive line, try and keep Caleb Williams upright. and got him another target, a big target in Johnny Wilson, wide receiver from Florida State. I think a guy that's going to get a lot of talk down the stretch only for his size. I believe it's 6'7", 235. You're going to hear a lot of – it's another big receiver, so you're going to hear a lot of transition to tight end talk. This is one where it's kind of realistic because he has the same build as Darren Waller. But he has the same concerns coming out too, at least from what I remember, for Darren Waller, which is route running and just some speed and hands concerns coming out of college. But great at the catch point. Obviously, he knows how to use his size down the field, but does struggle at times against some more powerful corners, which you don't want to see as that big of a frame. But the right coaching, the right tooling, he can be a weapon used in this offense. You have so much speed with DJ Moore, Kendrick Bourne, Tyler Scott. Get a big body in this team, I think. Pair with Cole Kmet and Park, and you're really building something in the offense and trying to get that full starting five from the NBA out there. But trading back a couple times and then trading up and trading your quarterback, you do get a little bit more picks next year. So next year they get a first, and now they have 3 seconds. With the one from New England could be a first because it's conditional, an extra fifth, or no, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. So you still have 7 draft picks going to next year, but 4 of them are going to be in the first 2 rounds. So you keep the draft capital power that you're trying to get. So I'm trying to build that war chest a little bit while still drafting at 101.
Yeah, man, I like this draft a lot. Jonah Ellis, I think, is one of those guys that's going to rise as we get through this process. He reminds me, the reason I said he's a stud, he reminds me a lot of Alex Highsmith.
I knew what you were saying.
Yeah. I remember watching Alex Highsmith and thinking, yeah, that kid's a stud. And so Jonah Ellis is my Alex Highsmith this year. I think I haven't put a grade on him yet, but we'll get there for sure. All right. On my side of things, so I kept Justin Fields. I traded the 101 to the New York Giants for their second round pick, a 2025 first and a 2026 second for the 101 and a 2025 fourth. Bears fans, if you're watching this and you say, that's probably not enough, maybe, but they're only moving back 5 spots. They're staying within range of one of the top 2 to 3 receivers, whereas I don't necessarily know that that's going to be a realistic option for them at 9. So that gives them the power to kind of make this selection of Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. The argument can be that you already have this type of receiver. So like Randy is doing, he's building the basketball team. I'm building the you can't run with us team. And so you're going to have Tyler Scott stretching the field. You're going to have DJ Moore and Malik Nabers as elite yak players. And Justin Fields, that, you know, Matt Eberflus consistently says, get the ball into the skills hands. Yes, do whatever you can to get the ball into Malik Nabers and DJ Moore's hands. And I think you're doing a good job, and you're probably moving the ball a lot better than you did this last year. 109, I took Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama. You mentioned him as like you're getting a knockoff version with Ellis. I think that's pretty much right. Dallas Turner and Jonah Ellis, both young players and guys that I think that Ryan Poles will like because of that. Turner, I believe, turns 21 next month. Ellis turns 21 in April. So both of these guys, super young, super developmental, but also flashing high value traits. Turner is one of the better, most explosive, high motor, and kind of bendy for his size. He's my edge one right now. I think it probably stays that way as we get down to it. 39th pick that you got back from the Giants. I don't think this player is going to be here anymore. When we did this, I was kind of thinking he would be, but Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. Centers are a weird one. I've seen him in more first round mocks, which feels like the Tyler Linderbaum, but we also did the same thing with Creed Humphrey and then he fell. But
we did the same thing with John Michael Schmitz last year, where this is where we had him and then we kept looking and seeing, and then we kept putting him in the first, back of the first, 20th, 25th, and then he went
right
here.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And so Jackson Powers Johnson, though, just one of the better center prospects I've watched in the last few years. He's up there in the Linderbaum, Creed Humphrey tier, which is why I mentioned those guys. Just an elite mover, the most tenacious dude you can find. He loves sprinting down the field and hitting dudes. And then he loves standing there. And when he has no one to block, he loves hitting dudes. This is exactly what this team needs at center. The upgrade at center must happen. You went the free agent route. I went the draft route. I think both are viable options, but it has to happen. And then at 75, I actually tripled down on wide receiver in this entire process. I got Jalen McMillan as your mostly slot player. So you have Jalen McMillan to come in behind Tyler Boyd in my scenario. McMillan's a really good athlete that got hurt this last year, didn't have as good of tape, got outshined by Roma Dunze and Jalen Polk, but he's still a really good slot player. And we saw what he can do with the ball in his hands. As you can see, I'm going for a yak-based offense. We're rolling with the yak, and I think that that's kind of the path forward. And then those were my only four picks because I didn't do all the trading outside of the Giants trade, and two of those picks were not in this year. You would still have multiple firsts next year. I pushed the 2026 second or the second to 2026. So you can continue feeding into this machine, because if you're building around Justin Fields, the argument is that you probably do need a little bit better of a roster than if you're drafting Caleb Williams. And so that's an important note here. Randy, what did you think of this one?
I think it makes sense because we attacked it different because of what we did at quarterback. Right. I went with a rookie. So other teams, like, we've seen them just splash as much offensive talent as you can. I try to do that a little bit through free agency, but I made a point to build the defense and allow the quarterback to not have to win every game, because we're going to try and shut 21 or less every week. And you have enough talent already on the offense that as long as you can make some offensive line upgrades, another weapon for sure, you can just attack that position again next year, attack the offensive line again next year. The defense should be almost set going into next year's draft when you have four first day two picks or first 2 days picks in my situation. That gives you some trade deadline capital as well to go get. We know he likes to trade seconds, so we know he's going for someone with a second next year. So I wanted to give him three so he had the options. Whatever's best is gone, just so we know that already. But you said, okay, like you said, if you're keeping Justin, we got to make this work this year. Defense is good enough. We'll get him one weapon to help that D-line pass rush, but we're going to fix this offense this year. And that's what it's exactly what you have to do, because Caleb, you get that extra year of time. But if you don't know exactly what you have in Fields this year, you have to make way too big of a decision next year without all the knowledge that you need.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's hear your updated depth chart if you want to read it.
So Caleb Williams, a quarterback with Bajent backing him up, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, and anybody in free agency, just anybody. Johnny Blasen game, fullback, DJ Moore, and Johnny Wilson, Colin Johnson at an outside receiver, Tyler Scott and Felix Jones as your right receiver, and Kendrick Bourne as your slot. Obviously you're bringing in another receiver in this room, but no one of huge note necessarily, but they could end up being all right. Braxton Jones, Larry Barnum at tackle, Tevin Jenkins, Christian Haynes fighting for the left guard spot. Lloyd Cushenberry is your starting center, Nate Davis and Carter at right, and Darnell Wright at tackle. Cole Kmet, Colby Parkinson, and Mercedes Lewis most likely at tight end. Montez Sweat, Jonah Ellis, Dorrance Armstrong, DeMarcus Walker, and Dominique Robinson as your edge rushers. Andrew Billings and Zach Pickens as your nose tackles, and Johnny Newton and Gervin Dexter as your rush D tackles. TJ Edwards, Jermaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn, and Noah Sewell as your linebackers. Jalen Johnson, Terrell Smith, Tariq Stevenson, Jalen Jones, Kyler Gordon as your starting corners, Geno Stone and Brisker as your safeties. Yeah, obviously, like I said, you don't have the god tier running back. You probably need some more receiver depth. You're going to need to look at offensive line next year, but good Lord, if teams putting up 30 points, this whole defense is hurt. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. This team is insane. And one of the main takeaways that I wanted people to have as they watch this franchise fix episode is that the Bears are pretty much in a win-win, because here's my depth chart. Justin Fields, Tyson Bagent, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, Kari Blossom game at fullback. My wide receivers are DJ Moore, Malik Nabers, and Tyler Boyd, with Jalen McMillan backing up, and Tyler Scott, a player who had ample run this last year as a backup. And then I think Velus Jones Jr. makes the team because he was good in kick return. So they used him on like jet sweeps, and they actually started just doing halfback toss to him towards the end of the year. Maybe he's your third running back because he's a fast boy. My line, Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, for those who don't know, his nickname is going to be JPJ. Everyone will get to calling him that. Nate Davis still at right guard, but I don't love it. Right tackle, Darnell Wright. Cole Kmet's my only tight end right now. We're going to, as the draft expands into 4 and 5 rounds, I'll have some tight ends, rookie tight ends, and then I'd probably sign I'd really love to bring Mercedes Lewis back, for what it's worth. Defensive ends, Montez Sweat, Bryce Huff, Dallas Turner, DeMarcus Walker. So where you went super strong in the interior, I went super strong on the edge. And then Andrew Billings, Zach Pickens, Jerron Dexter. Your linebacking core stays the same. TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn, Noah Sewell. Corners stay the same as well. The only change in the secondary would be that Xavier McKinney signing as your free safety, and then Jaquan Brisker staying as your starting strong safety. So with this scenario, both of these teams are significantly better than the 2023 Chicago Bears, especially if they get the offensive coordinator right. So that's my takeaway. What's your takeaway, Randy?
My takeaway is if you're going to trade Justin Fields, you need to spend for two receivers. Because I didn't like that I had to mention Velus Jones, and you just mentioned him. that's my great main difference. And I think it stands to reason, like, obviously we're both attacking the center position, but the rest of this line is positions up for grabs, but guys that this front office believes in, and they put all of their eggs in these baskets. So this is the year we figure out what are those four we're keeping, because we know who the center is with both our teams for the next, for my situation, 4 years, for your situation, hopefully 10.
Yeah, facts. Big facts. He'll play for a decade plus. I almost had them trade up into the first round again to make sure they got him.
Which they easily could. Pick it at 39. You can easily get up. It's just one of those. Besides Pops Johnson, there's a few more centers I think that are decent in this draft class. Better than the last year's class for sure at that position. But we're so high up in all these tackles. All these interior guys on these PFF mock drafts, other mock draft machines, are just so far down. They're all sitting in that third round and fourth round. And I know that's not how this is going to work. So I was just like, I'm just spending the money. I'm not thinking about it. But you could go this route and try. Let the Bengals keep Tyler Boyd. Try for the other one in T. Higgins and spend big that way. If you're going to be attacking edge rusher in the draft like you did. But also, with trading back at 9, all those receivers are gone, or else you're going up and trying to get Troy Franklin if you like him, or you like Cole, then you're going there. There's still such debate on him. So it's a weird attacking. There's just no way, in my opinion, that the Bears stick at 1 and 9. They're either trading back from 1 or keeping at 1 and trading 9. There's just no way for me.
There's a chance that they trade out of both, to be honest, because and the reason I say that is because as I'm doing mock drafts and as I'm writing mock drafts, for example, my latest mock draft on Football Guys dropped this week. I had the Falcons trading for Justin Fields and then taking Rome Odunze as the wide receiver 3 off the board at pick number 8. I have seen that as a mock draft possibility with all three receivers gone before that Bears pick. So it's kind of like a dead man zone, like a dead zone of the draft where they can't get a weapon for their new quarterback or for Justin Fields. And so there's a chance that even if they do a trade back, they'll be in that range. They'll be able to take one of those wide receivers, and then they trade back from 9, get some extra capital. And so a double trade back is definitely on the cards. Neither of us did that one, but it's
no,
it's,
it's just because it seems then we're in a whole fool's gold situation. And I'm just not.
Oh yeah.
Like it very well, it's like you said, it's a huge possibility, but I can't do that and not come off as like, oh, he just wants 30 picks. He must be right. The Thunder. I do.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. As Madden dictates, according to Christian. But
separate topic. We should dedicate this channel. This channel might get dedicated to the college football game once it's out.
It might. That's a real possibility.
I've joked about it, but like I'm not joking. So
you know, I wouldn't hate doing gameplay on here, but that's a whole different topic. But yeah, both ways are extremely positive situations for the Bears moving forward. It's just the fallout of the decision is what the Bears are struggling with at this point, and we'll see how they go. I mean, personally, I hope they make the decision well before the draft. I doubt it.
Me too.
But
it's not going to be as early as last year.
No, and the other big thing is we don't know what Fields is going to be going for. Obviously, I don't think Mel Kiper is right that they're going to trade him for 108. But they could get 108 and trade Justin Fields in a second. Like, that's realistic. But I believe I did a third and conditional second that could be a first. I think that's super realistic. That's two day two picks. That turns into a day one if blank incentives, which I think Rodgers was starts 75% of the games. That's realistic. Obviously, Fields with his injury history, that's super realistic for the Patriots to want to put in there. But we know the Patriots are a run-first team, even with Jerod Mayo getting a running quarterback that can also make all the plays you need him to at the quarterback position. Makes sense. But he also makes sense a lot of places.
Yeah. For what it's worth, my Atlanta deal was a 2025 conditional second round pick with performance based incentives that could upgrade the pick to a first rounder, not playing time, but performance based. And then
it could be both too.
It could be, especially, I mean, yeah, he's also one that misses games.
It could be extension based.
Like could be
Calvin Ridley with his free agent decision of the Jags this year. It's all awkward. And that's the other reason why Justin Fields being traded there makes a ton of sense, because they're going to have an extra second or third round pick.
Yeah, for sure. There's also a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick in 2026. And then they flipped a 2025 fifth round pick along with Justin. So Falcons fans were upset with it. They said, we don't want to trade a first for Justin Fields, but like it's conditional. And so if he sucks, it's a second round pick, and that's pretty much it. So.
I mean, it's what it is. You know, like
you need a quarterback.
It's like, realistic. Okay. It's realistic. It's what we're doing in the NFL right now, especially with quarterbacks. I think last year's Aaron Rodgers deal set the market. However, we know Rodgers had a limit of like 3 years, where we know Fields could have another 10 to 15 if he pans out. So, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl like Rodgers. So it's a hit or miss.
For sure. All right, that'll do it for this Franchise Fix episode. We will be doing these, I believe, every Friday moving forward. So there might be some weeks that we miss and do something else, or you know, we're definitely going to continue throwing mock drafts up and everything. So we'll have a ton of content coming your way. If you haven't yet, go check out the Deciphering Dynasty show with Kevin and Leo that aired last night. That was in the live feeds. It should show up. If you're subscribed, and if you're not, you should be. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. If you're a Bears fan and you're here for the first time and you watched all the way through to here, I am too. So join us. We talk Bears a lot. We talk Justin Fields a lot. And that team is going to be at the forefront of a lot of people's minds this offseason. So I'm sure they'll come up in conversations. Randy, anything to add before we bounce?
It's an exciting start. There's some dramatic teams that we could go over. I will say with Franchise Fixes, we're not going to do these. We're not doing the 49ers. We're not doing the Eagles. That's not a fix. If you want, fire the coach. That's your fix. Like, that's not It's a linebacker for success for
the first time ever.
Never happening. We know that's not happening. And in this class, if they drafted one in the first of this class, Howie would be
wrong. They're wrong.
So that would be terrible. If this is the year he does it, burn it all down.
Yeah. That's the guy that drafted Jalen Reagor, though. So,
but yeah, if you please comment on the video if you guys want the next one. So we're not having to fight to make the decision, because trust me, it will be a fight. It always has been for the 3 years we've done this. So this please, if you want, leave a comment. We're happy to do the top comment, make it a list. We'll do all of them. This is what we love to do.
Yeah, for sure. Also, patrons probably get first dibs on that. So make sure you join the Patreon, as I mentioned earlier. It's on the screen if you're watching, patreon.com/TheDebaRoyale. We will talk to you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you like this video if you liked it. Comment, like Randy said, and subscribe to the channel. We'll talk to you guys next week.